I just want to thank everybody for coming. See a number of new faces, Shana Aleph and of course Shana Bet, and it was in Lav Market tomorrow night at my house at 9 o'clock. I want to get to one of my favorite Divrei Torah that I certainly try to live by. You know, it's certainly sometimes a challenge, but I certainly try to live by this vort, which is not so well known. I actually told it over to somebody this morning in shul, and it's such a huge lesson to live by. But before we get there, Let's discuss some of the background. There's obviously many, many different mitzvahs in this week's parasha. On the way here, I was listening to a shir, a very official shatter, and he was saying that one of the things Nasev and Ishma is in last week's parasha, where the real Kabbalah of Torah is, in the Seres and Nibros. And no, it's in this week's parasha with the Mishpatim, where it's Ben Onel Chavero, a lot of Koshin Mishpat. So he said over from the Slonimer Rabbanim, the Slonimer Rebbes, they said, no, this is the real Nasev and Ishma, meaning, it's one thing to be great in terms of even other makom. Wow, I believe in God and Munah B'Hashem. That's great. But he said, like a muscle, a person is coming back 2 o'clock in the morning and acts, you know, he's backing into a parking spot, and he hits the guy's mirror. That's where we see if he really has Yerushalayim. That's where we really see if he's a real Jew. Is he a real Nasa v'Nishma? That's the godless Nasa v'Nishma. And he said that if you're Nasa, actually, this is what they said. He said from the Slonimer Rebbe's. If you're Nasa over and over and over again, if you're just Nasa, eventually come to Nishma. Sometimes you don't feel it. We don't feel like we can follow the halachas. We don't feel like we can do halachas properly. But if we do it over and over again, eventually we come to Nishma. Okay, that's just an aside. That wasn't even the hakdama to the main word that I want to say. I want to focus on the passing this week's parasha that tells us V'anshei kodesh tihun li u'bosar v'sit. Throw the trefa to the dog. So, of course, I'm sure many of you are familiar with Rashi. Rashi tells us that the Yisod that v'lumed ha'kotzah shenah kodesh baruch hu mekapeach schar kol beria shenemar al kol bnei Yisod l'yachrotz kel v'shonah omar kodesh baruch hu tulo scharo. That the lesson is that you see from the dog that Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't withhold reward from anybody. So I actually heard this morning from Rabbi David's nephew, Moshe Mordechai Cousins. He went to Taina that one of the Yisodos is that a dog doesn't have Bechir Chavshis. He doesn't have free choice. Hashem made it. The dog won't bark. Yet he's getting a reward. So what do you see from here? Lamed Chal Kosov, the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't withhold reward from anybody. Even somebody who is forced, who had no Bechira, even he gets rewarded. Allah is kama v'kama, a human being who has bechir chavshis goes ahead and does something good, so certainly he's going to be rewarded, right? Pasha to kama chomer. That's number one. Number two, before we get to again the main divorce, somebody asked me, one of the alumni listened to last year's share, which is about this vort, and he asked the question. So I don't understand. He said, I always thought growing up, or when I've heard this idea. Wow, the dogs didn't bark. As if the Jews were leaving in the middle of the night, right, during Makas Bechoros, and guess what? The dogs didn't bark to wake up the Mitzrayim and the Jews were leaving. Hold on a second. So the Mitzrayim wanted the Jews to leave. Meaning, what's the greatness of the dogs not barking? How do you understand that? Right? That's what we assume. We assume that the dogs not barking is because they didn't want to, it's a good thing they didn't blow the cover of the Jews. That was a question that was asked to me by Matthew Salisbury Shlita, right? So I think the pshat is, my initial pshat was like this. I was going to say that it's not the pshat that the dogs, you know, didn't blow the cover for the Jews. That the dogs didn't even make it unpleasant for the Jews at night. They were getting ready, they were leaving. Even if they knew their HaKadosh Baruch was watching over there, and Makas Bechoros is happening, everything's going to be, you know, and they're going to be saved, and so on. But they weren't even in a situation where the dogs were barking at them in the middle of the night. Which should have been terrifying and scary, and it wouldn't have been pleasant. So that's, I think, maybe one of the great things about the greatness, the fact that the dogs did not bark at the Jews in the middle of the night. Now, just to back that up, the Shmos Rava, which is not quoted completely in Rashi, Shmos Rava says the following: Lama lekelav? Why were the dogs rewarded? Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu Chayav Matam Lekelav. We have to give something to the dogs. Why? Shebishah Sheharakti V'Chorim Mitzrayim V'Hayim Hamitzrim Yoishim Kol Laila V'Korim Meisayim. The Egyptians were spending the entire night burying their dead. And the dogs were barking at them the whole night, which is obviously, in my opinion, adding insult to injury. Right? Here they are, they're burying everybody, and the dogs are going crazy. Nevertheless, There's a clear contrast to the Jews. Those who are not barking. I think this is the pshat. It was pleasant. You're obligated to give the dogs. So it's the same. He brings down Ratoka Or from the Chizkuni. What's the pshat? Like, well, why are we so happy and so grateful to the dogs for not barking? So first of all, there's a Gemara Baba Kama Daf Samach Amud Beis that says when you see the dog barking, what is that? It's a simon that the Malach Mavis is coming, right? When you see the dogs laughing, that means Elio Novi is coming. And it says, but if there's female dogs around and they're laughing, it's because there's a female dog around, not because there's a not because Mashiach's coming. But what do you see? That it's supposed to be that a dog is supposed to bark when there's a Malach Mavis. And since the dogs did not do what they usually do, since they did not bark at midnight, and then when the Malach Mavis was there, therefore they deserve schar. That's number one. Number two. The Gemara Brachos and Dav Gimel's Mashmah that Chatzos dogs bark, and at that point they did not bark, so they should get reward. And also the Rush writes, the Rush says that the nature of a dog is when he sees a person with a stick, he barks. And we know the Jews left with their sticks, and yet the dog did not bark. So the dog went against its grain. Whether it's, and obviously we said before they didn't have bechira, so there are many different ways of understanding what the reward to the dog was for. But certainly there's a reward, and it's mashma, I think, that again, even if it wasn't with bechira, they deserve a reward nevertheless. And what was good for the Jews was that it was pleasant to leave. Rabbi Blavatsky actually says that he thinks of the Medrash that says that there was 12 gates around the Mitzrayim, each one guarded by an animal, and that's why it was impossible to leave, because whenever you wanted to leave the Mitzrayim, so that animal would prevent you from leaving. And he said that the Jews left through the gate of the dog, and that dog did not bark, that dog was calm, that dog did not give a hard time to the Jewish people for leaving. Now, what was the schar? So we know in this week's parasha, you give him the treifa. You give him the treifa. There's another schar as well. In Shulchan Aruch it says that dafka the dog, if you see a... If it's brought down halacha. If you see a stray bird or any other animal that's not yours, you're not mechuyev to give them food. However, kelav, if you see a dog, even if it's not yours, there's a chiyuv, an obligation to give them food. So you see again another source that there's a mitzvah. And obviously, it's based on this pasuk that there's a source that you're supposed to feed a dog that doesn't belong to you. There's another reward as well for the dog. What is that? Call him a sapel lashnara, but call him a kabel lashnara. A person who Nebuch speaks or receives Lashon Hara is also supposed to be given to the dog for food. Rachmana Litzlan. Why? Because it says in this week's parasha, juxtaposition. So the next pasuk is what? Losisa Shem Hashav. Rashi says the pasuk Losisa Shem Hashav referring to Mekabel Lashon Hara. So you see that a person, that the dog not only does he get treifa, not only does he get fed, but Nebuch, if a person speaks or is Mekabel Lashon Hara, so he's also fed to the dogs. And he's brought down the Sefer, the Oitzer HaYidias, in the name of the Meiri. What's the pshat? Why is it that a person who speaks Lashon Hara deserves to be fed to the dogs? Because a person is Ruach Malah, which means his spirit is based upon, what separates a person from an animal? Is his ability to speak. But if a person abuses this speech, and he actually says Lashon Hara, so he doesn't deserve, he's not a human being. What defines human being is proper speech. And if a human being doesn't speak properly, so then he's not a human being, and he's fit to go to the dogs. And he actually quotes that's the reason why Yosef's brothers they incited a dog upon Yosef. Why? Because Yosef was speaking Lashon Hara. Exactly this word. The reason why Yosef's brothers wanted to feed him to the dogs, because a person who speaks Lashon Hara deserves, most based on that reason, somebody who's misaper Lashon Hara, he deserves to be given over to the, he's acting like a dog. Okay. In addition, it's also, over another report, that the pasuk says, Lekel tashlichun oso. Now, if we know grammar, it would have been enough to say, Lekel tashlichu, right? Send it. What's the extra nun? Says Reb Chaim Kanevsky. You need to be Reb Chaim Kanevsky to think of this word. The Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Chof Hei, and we're Daf Yom, Daf Chof Hei, Amun Aleph, says that what are you supposed to do with a nevela? Right, with a carcass that didn't have proper shechita, listen to this. Marchikim es hanevelos meneir chamishim amo. You're supposed to take a nevela and distance it from the city. How many amos? 50 amos. So the kel of Tashlichun also, that extra nun is coming to Mirames, that you have to send the nevela where? 50 amos away from the city. Unbelievable, the Yedias HaTorah of Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita. Okay. Now, just as another aside, another cute idea, the Ben Yoyada in Erev in Perek Vav says an amazing thing. He says, now, right now, like the proper definition of a trefa is an animal that actually underwent proper shkita, but has a defect that would not have allowed that animal to live for at least another year. Right? And we understand, right, okay, let's leave it like that. So, there was once a debate with a wise person and an apikoris in front of the melech. And one of the points the apikoris said to the Jews is, hey, listen, the Jew treats a dog better than a goy. Why? Because when they have a non-kosher piece of meat, what do? They give it to the dog. Why don't they just give it to the goy? So the wise Jew said, no. One of the reasons why we don't eat treif meat, one of the reasons why we don't eat that, because it had a mom, because it's not healthy. Right? And what you don't want to do for yourself, don't do to other people. So the reason why we don't give the treif meat to the non-Jew, because we don't want him to get hurt. We don't want him to become infected with whatever illness happens. The reason why he's a treif is because it's a real illness. And a dog who's able to, I guess, has a better immune system for treifos, the dog we don't mind. The dog is not going to be damaged when you give him treif meat. And that's why we give our treif meat to the Jew and not to the dog and not to the goy, because we're being nice to the goy, and because we don't want to hurt the non-Jew. Okay, that's for the basic pshatim that relate to the pasuk of kelav tashlichun oso and loyechad kelav shono. Many different ideas, but certainly the idea that the dog gets rewarded for not barking. Now let's turn our attention to the das that came in Bali Tosfos, which is found in the back of the Mikros Gedolos. Now, this is a vort, I don't think it's so well known, but if you internalize this vort, you will lead happy lives, and specifically Ben Amla Chavero. Maybe I'll read it inside just to hammer it home, and then I'll explain the pshat. Ma'achacher kelev motzer nafsho ala trefa k'shebo hazevel torfa. Right? When the wolf comes, what is the wolf coming to do? The wolf is coming to attack the flock. The flock of sheep. And what's the dog's job? The dog's job is to guard the sheep. That's the dog's job. And what happened today? Why is there a trefa? Now, trefa, in terms of kashrus, means that it wouldn't have survived another year, and that's why you can't eat it. But hooray, if the pasuk really, it's a trefa. The trefa over here is talking about being torn. What does being torn mean? It didn't undergo proper shkita. Rather, it was torn by what? Torn by the wolf. Lo tia kofu toiva kinegdo. Don't be an ingrate to the dog. You now have a non-kosher piece of meat. You can't do anything with it. What should you do? Give it to the dog as a reward. Why? Because until today, he has been guarding your flock, and he also guarded the other sheep that are in your flock. Because the way of the world is to appoint your dog to guard your sheep. What is this message? I once heard this on tape, and I think the message is quite clear. And that's essentially the mashal, but the nimshal is huge. Right? The natural knee-jerk reaction on that day, when your dog failed to guard the sheep, is to say, you think you're going to deserve to get this piece of meat that I can't eat? No, I'm going to punish you. You know I'm going to punish you? Because today you didn't do your job. Says the Das of Cain and Bali Tosfos, you know what the Torah is telling us? Lekel tashlichun oso. Are you forgetting all the times when the dog guarded your sheep and protected them? Are you forgetting the fact that he guarded the other sheep in the flock? Don't forget that. Don't lose sight of all the great things the dog did for you, and punish him today for what he didn't do. What you should focus on is all the great times you had together and all the great things he did for you. That's obviously the muscle and the neutral is so posh, I think, partial. Right? A person goes through life, whether it's with his parents, siblings, his friends, his bosses, his employers, his employees, his colleagues, anybody you meet on the street. Actually, that's not a good muscle, because anybody you meet on the street is just a one-time thing. But the yisod is like this. In life, let's say a person has a best friend. He's been so good to him for years. He's done hundreds of ma'asim of chesed to him. Hundreds! And one day he messes him over. One day he gets to invite him somewhere. One day he cuts him online. One day he wakes him up in the middle of the night. One day, you know, he says to him, "You messed me over today, that's it. Our friendship, our relationship is over." Hello? What about all the other times? What about the years? What about the chesed that he's done for you? What about that? Right? A sibling, a parent, right? We get, the person get upset at his parents, say, "Oh, they're not letting me do this." They talk, hold on a second, you're talking about it. So they'll put it on the scale. Hundreds of times they did good things for us, and now today, or this week, or whatever, it's not working out. Don't forget all the great things that the person did for you. This is exactly what the Das Kinei Baal Tosfos is understanding from the Pasuk. Don't forget what the dog did for you all those years. I once heard this on a tape years ago, and he was the rabbi on the tape, the Reb Zev Smith. He was saying that he knows of two men who were childhood friends for life. They were involved in business together. They were their kids were the best of friends, and something happened, and boom. They were the biggest arch enemies ever. And it was just like mind-boggling. I mean, never, these things can happen. It should never happen. And, there's something, I recently had a situation with somebody that I could have, you know, had a pitfall in these areas. It happens all the time. A person, so often, a person can say, you know what, that's it, our relationship is over, you messed me over. But, hold on a second, take a step back, think about all the positives, right? What are we focused on? Are we focused on the forest, or are we focused on an individual tree? If the forest is huge, if the relationship is 95% amazing, and 5%, yes, you the person hurt you, the person messed you over, he caused you pain, it could have even been malicious. But when you look at the big picture, you look at the entire forest, you'll realize that, what am I doing? And obviously, you guys are young, and you'll get married at the right time, and people listening could be married also. This is Aleph Beis in marriage, right? A person can say, "Oh, my spouse messed up, she did this, he did that." You know, that's it. What's going on over here? This is terrible. Terrible. Right? But no. What are you forgetting? Are you not forgetting everything? Actually, I think it's a very famous Gemara. I forgot which Tana or which Gemara that says this. But apparently his wife was terrible to him. Oh, because I think he's bringing home, I forgot who it was, but he's bringing home a gift to his wife. And he said, "What? Why are we going to give to you? She's terrible to you." I forgot who it was in the Gemara. And he says, "Yeah, but she's matzal me from chait, and she raises the children, right?" So, what? That was enough of an answer. Why bring her presents, right? She lives with him, and she takes care of the children. She's terrible to him. 95% of it. But there's what to focus on. There's always what to focus on. There's always an element about karas hatov for what his wife did to him. It's not easy. It's challenging. Maybe malicious. It's terrible, but he focuses on the positive, right? That's a lesson in life. Mama is such a lesson in life. When it comes to this Indian of an Adam Chavero, a person can eat himself alive, right? I don't, Baruch Hashem, I'm not so familiar with these kinds of situations, family machlokas, and you know, they don't talk to each other and all these kinds of things. Right? I Baruch Hashem, behind her, I don't know. I don't, you know, I can't relate, you know, to these things, but. But you know, hopefully if we have this ingrained in us and internalized in us, we won't have to come to these situations, right? But it could happen. It can happen with a close friend, it can happen with a business associate, with a boss, a colleague. If a person remembers this, don't lose sight of all the good things that a person does for you. Don't focus on negative. You're right. The Yetzer Hara says, yes, focus on it. That person messed you over. He did bad to you. He pained you. He's malicious. No. It's not worth it. Mom, it's not worth it. So, take lessons of the dog, and we should be zeichah to always be b'shalom, shalva with our friends, neighbors, and family. And then, as we'll see, the Gula Shemim here may not have a good Shabbos.